up, ATL? John Michaels, Jay Adams, DJ Shockley. Another edition of Falcon Cast here from Flowery Branch. I'm not even in a bad mood. I'm just ready to take last week and just act like it never happened. We're on to a new one. What do they say in the National Football League, guys? It's like, you know what? You got a 24-hour rule, and you move on to the next one, and we're on to Jacksonville, and I'm going to see if I can do a cannonball up in one of those pools somewhere during
the
game.
I want to go where the ladies dance there.
I like that.
Up there.
And take them to the pool, right?
When our credentials say all access, does that mean we can go up there?
Oh, yeah.
I think we need to do a report.
I'll be tweeting the second half from the pool.
Okay. Very nice.
I'm going to bring a pair of trunks. I haven't checked the weather yet. We talked about this last week. It was unbelievably beautiful for a December game in Charlotte North. It was like 70 degrees.
The weather was amazing.
I mean, to the point where I needed to put sunscreen on, which is awesome in December. I have a feeling in Jacksonville it's going to be like 42 and rainy. Because we're just not going
to
get lucky.
It's supposed to be nice.
Is it?
It's supposed to be in the 60s.
Thank you, Jim Cantore.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Appreciate it. 60s is still cold in Florida. You know, that's wintertime in Florida.
Feels good, though, to us.
No, I don't know if I'll do a cannonball in the pool in 60-degree weather, but if it had been like 75.
I bet that water is heated, though. It
gotta
has to be.
Gotta be.
Because they want people in it, so you have to be heated to get in it. And
that's right.
If it's cold, anybody going to get in. And you lose the attraction.
That is a pretty cool sight, though. We were up there for preseason last year, and it was the first time they had the pools open. And Wes and Arch tried to get – oh, go up to the pool. And I looked, and I didn't want to be the creepy guy walking up there like, hey, how's it going, ladies?
Yes,
everything okay?
It doesn't matter.
Need anybody to spot you? No?
You're not going to see him again.
No, that is true. Matter. That's a good rule of thumb.
I'm not going to see him again.
You know what we're not going to see again?
True.
The performance we saw last week. And we'll talk a little bit of football, and we'll talk a lot of things that happened.
We're not going to talk about that game last week, though.
No. That's why I said we're not going to – not going to do too much of that. But we'll talk about some of the moves that happened this week. We'll talk about what you have to do moving forward. Shock, there is a chance, though. 2.7.
There's a chance. You're not mathematically out of it. There is a chance. Jay,
I thought last week, like, our chances were like 1.6. So our chances actually went up after that?
Yeah, I think because Minnesota lost. It's 2.7.
There's still a chance. We got a chance.
As Jim Carrey would say.
So you're saying there's a chance.
All right, we'll start with the advertisement side of this thing, and then we'll get into some football. Don't forget, you can subscribe to FalconCast on iTunes. Just search FalconCast. Hit the subscribe button to get each week's episode on the go. We appreciate all you guys on Twitter that give us the feedback. Follow us on there as well. We have a lot of fun. Bosek does some giveaways, which I haven't seen as many giveaways this year as we have in years past.
He's doing one every week.
You got some? Yeah, okay.
Every week.
Maybe I follow too many people. I think that's what it is. Because before... you know, I'd see the Falcon giveaway, or maybe I'm just not.
I see Bosek on there because Bosek, I guess, this week he might have forgot or something and said, all right, it's coming up, the winter's coming up, and he led with some suspense and everything.
People were bugging me really quickly because I didn't give the winner out right away. I was busy.
Well, you got to look up the stats, and oh, by the way, you've got other job duties after the game.
Got to post videos to the website.
Yeah. I can say this.
Got a lot to do.
I had to sit next to him in Austin on the flight back.
Yeah.
Both of them, like, as soon as they get on the plane, they've got laptops up and they're doing. And I'm looking, going, I just want another cheese steak.
Yeah. Just want to relax, right?
I just want to eat.
Yep.
And, you know, try to forget about what happened.
That's what I like in my new social media job. It's like there's not a whole lot for me to do after the game. So it's kind of nice. Whereas before I'd be posting everything to the website, writing articles, all that kind of stuff. And now it's just like.
But I assume the social media part is still pretty heavy. After a game.
So, if you were to imagine a giant dumpster fire.
In your lap?
And that dumpster has...
your phone number.
is just completely filled with gasoline. That would be our Twitter mentions lately.
Do you have to, like, turn your alerts off or something?
I can't even look at it anymore.
I mean, your phone would be dead.
I always have to remember that people are just yelling at the logo. They're not yelling at me. So...
yeah, I've done a lot of phone off. The phone just – people have left me alone. There's still like a group of 10 to 12 guys that just every week want to tell me everything that's wrong and who should be fired and who shouldn't be here. And you know what I've had to do? There's that beautiful thing called mute. Mm-hmm. So they think they're still talking to me. I don't see it.
I have the same thing, though, because when I do the – when I do the post-game show on 92.9 after game, they let people text in. It's kind of similar to, you know, the tweets, and it gets ugly. So I can only imagine people going after the logo.
Craziest suggestion you've heard so far?
The craziest one was trade Matt Ryan to Cleveland for Joe Thomas and Johnny Manziel.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because it's worked great in Cleveland. I mean, yeah. They are right there when it comes to Super Bowl contenders.
My favorite is the trade Matt Ryan for 3 first-round picks. And, you know,
nice.
Because you trade Matt Ryan because he's so terrible, yet you still think you can get 3
first-round picks.
Crazy one I heard was we need to fire Coach Quinn and bring Smitty back. Like, last year, everybody was like, Smitty is – I mean, but now it just tells you how a year goes and how it goes from
there. We're at the point where I had people tell me we need to fire the social media guy.
It's definitely your fault.
What did I do?
Right. You definitely did not make a tackle Sunday. I saw that.
I was just tweeting out GIFs of – little girls crying after we turned the ball over.
I can say this. Jay and I did not make a play on a ball in San Francisco. There was a ball that came our way, and both of us kind of looked like – in fairness, it was over our head.
Now, yes.
But in Carolina, I give Jay credit. Jay was ready. There was a ball coming our way, and Jay got
– I was ready. I was ready, and the ball boy blocked it for me. But, yeah, the week before, Matt Ryan throws one. He's just looking to get rid of one, and he throws it right at me and John. And we're both like – we move away, and – I think about it afterwards, and I'm like, man, I could have just one-handed that thing, brought it in, maybe made SportsCenter.
Fellas, don't be afraid to be great, all right?
See, I have a microphone.
Don't be afraid to be great.
And Miller Pope, who's been an engineer on the Falcons Radio Network for about 35 years, if I drop the microphone to catch a football.
Miller went crazy on you?
Yeah. That Miller would be really upset.
Yeah.
Come on, Miller, man. Don't be mad at him, man. Just trying to make a play.
That's my tool of work. I need my microphone. All right, we're just going to skip past last week. Falcons lost. We know. It's over with. Done. We're moving on to Jacksonville. But some moves were made this week. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say this. I'll start with one is surprising to me just because of the way it transpired. The other ones maybe not so much. We'll start with William Moore, sent to injured reserve. We know he got hurt again. You hate to see it. Willie Moe talked about at the beginning of this year, all he wanted to do was stay healthy. Maybe not play with as much ferocity and as much craziness as he has in the past, trying to knock everybody out. And unfortunately for him, the body just doesn't hold up, guys. And he's moved to injured reserve. There's a lot of speculation, which we won't really get into as to what will happen moving forward with William Moore. But his season's over with, and it's got to come as a disappointment.
It does. I mean, you really looked at him as one of the leaders on the defensive side of the ball. And he's still going to be there emotionally. He's still here, and he's going to be in the meetings and doing all that kind of stuff and watching film with the guys. But you really miss him out on the field. Now, one thing I will say is it's great to see somebody like Ricardo Allen stepping up and being that quarterback on the defensive side of the ball lately. But losing Wilmo, I think a lot of people outside of this building don't truly understand what he's meant to the locker room, what he's meant to a very, very young secondary. I know he gets a lot of criticism for being injured all the time. And look, injuries happen in football. I find that, you know, you look at William Moore and you look at Julio Jones, who are always going to have something that's kind of bugging them. It's because they play so hard.
Right.
They play so hard that the body just sometimes, like you said, it just can't keep up. And so, we're hoping Will Moe gets better soon. And again, we're not going to get into this all that speculation going on, but it's a pretty big loss from a leadership standpoint.
I know I'm gonna miss his physicality out there. I mean, like you mentioned, he's always flying around. He's a guy who's always in the moment and understands, you know, what this defense needs, and he's always that emotional guy. He's always the guy that gets everybody motivated and always has a great energy, always has a great attitude about him, and the defense feeds off that. And we came into this season wanting him to be healthy because we know if he's healthy and on the field, it makes our defense a whole lot better. And I feel for him because I know he wants to be out there. I know he wants to be that Missouri hammer that everybody knows him as. And, you know, his physical nature on the field makes that defense instantly better. And I remember when he came back from the first injury, I was excited to have him back and say, yeah, we got Willie Moe back, one of our leaders, like you just mentioned. But it's just unfortunate. And like you mentioned, you know, injuries happen. Trust me, these guys train as hard as anybody in the offseason. They still lift weights during the season. They're always taking care of their body with extra treatment, with extra stretching, whatever it may be. And things just happen. And It's unfortunate for Willie Mo because he's injured, but you know, it's the nature of the business. And another guy who I know we all like in Kamal Ishmael is going to get a chance to get even more playing time. So looking forward to seeing him get in there.
I was just going to mention him. I mean, I love the way he plays because it's so similar to the way William Moore plays.
Took the words out of my mouth.
Sorry. It's fun to watch him play because he plays with that reckless abandon that you like to see out of your safeties. And so I've always been a huge fan of Kamal Ishmael. I think he's done a lot in his career here so far, and now he's got a chance to do a little bit more.
Yeah, the other injury move this week, or one of the other injury moves this week, Leonard Hankerson, who was placed on IR, what, about a week and a half ago?
Yeah, it was a couple of weeks ago, I think. Yeah.
And was waived. And this was the one that's really peculiar to me because I don't remember people getting placed on injured reserve and then waived, and then he was already picked up by the New England Patriots. Well, now what that means was he's healthy enough to not be on injured reserve. Right. And, you know, we talked about speculation with William Moore. There's a lot of speculation as to what happened with Leonard Hankerson. For me, when this offense was going at its best the first 5 weeks of the season, it's because Leonard Hankerson was able to be that number two and give you a really good option for a guy that people had to account for.
Yeah, and that's something that I think Justin Hardy is growing into. That's that role that the Falcons want him to be. Dan Quinn said on Wednesday, we let Hankerson go because he wasn't part of our future plans. Now, you know, it's like you say, he's healthy enough to play because he was picked up off of waivers. I expect to see him on the field soon for the Patriots.
Bill Belichick's going to use him.
Oh, absolutely. But that's the thing is, you know, sometimes guys are put on IR. The team doesn't have to check with the guy to make sure he's okay with that. And, you know, maybe sometimes you got a guy who's on IR who doesn't think he should be there, and then, you know, you request a release and all that kind of fun stuff happens after that. But, you know, I think if you're a Falcons fan, you've got to be excited about the way Justin Hardy's come along and the way that he's going to probably step into that number two role very soon. So that's just my take on that.
As a guy who's played in this league and understands the business of the National Football League and also offenses in general, and it's playing quarterback, you look at what Hank did. You talk about he did some great things, in those games he, you know, caught three, four balls, but then he also would drop two or three balls. And as a quarterback, as an offensive coordinator, as a coach, in those critical situations when you don't make the plays that you're supposed to make, and sometimes they were just routine catches that you're supposed to make, it brings up a lot of inconsistency in your game. And on a team right now where you need guys to be consistent, you need things to happen for you, and you're building for the next level, the next game, or the future, you need guys around you who you know you can depend on. And this is just my personal opinion. It has nothing to do with what Coach Quinn thinks, but I just feel like they felt like he wasn't a consistent enough player for them to go forward with. And I'm sure that's something as a quarterback, you work so hard to get the football out and you put it right on him and they drop it. I mean, I know he didn't do that all the time, but there were certain moments in the season where you needed big plays out of him that were routine and it didn't happen. So ultimately it comes down to guys that are dependable. And if you're not dependable, you're going to be gone. They can find somebody else who can, you know, be dependable for him, or like you mentioned, a guy who's starting to come up and make really proud of his opportunities is Justin Hardy, like you mentioned. So a guy who can be and come out and really play solid football for you is a guy that you want. And Hardy's becoming into that mold, and he's definitely become dependable for you. And you guys showed me a clip of him blocking before we came on. Those type of things they watch on film.
Yeah.
Those type of things mean more than the one-handed catch he had on third down. That just shows he'd give a little bit extra for everybody else. So having a guy that you can depend on in Justin Hardy, I think, made that decision a little bit easier for the Falcons, knowing, hey, we got somebody else who can fill that void, and we're just not left out in the cold.
Now, you move on to this part of the season. I know we said 2.7% is the exact mathematics with the chance to make the playoffs. Let's be honest. The playoffs are a pipe dream at this point. You would need Minnesota to lose out. You'd have to win out. You know, good luck with that. That could happen. I've seen stranger things in the National Football League. But with the way we've played, talking about Atlanta for the last few weeks, it's hard to believe that you're going to turn around and win out. And you know, again, then you got to hope that somebody who's a pretty good football team in the Vikings loses three in a row, or Seattle, which they play Cleveland this week, so that's probably out the window. But when you look at that and you're down to three games, that playoffs are really, really not in the spectrum anymore, What do you guys look to accomplish in the last 3 weeks? Is there something shocked that you would point at and say, as a player that's been in this league, when you're out of the playoffs, what are you trying to accomplish?
I think the biggest thing is making sure you put good stuff on film. We talk a lot about pride. We talk a lot about playing for each other. And right now you're in a position where you have to play for the guy next to you. And you also got to play for your future, because right now – we know the process of Coach Quinn looking at who is going to be on this team next year.
Right.
Who is somebody we can depend on? We know when things got rough, this guy still gave his all. And I remember the first thing I heard Coach Quinn early in this week was when they came in to watch the film, the first thing they watched was who's giving the most effort. Who's going out there and really putting everything on the line, regardless of the score, you're still going out competing and you're playing to that level. And right now, with the last three games, obviously you want to see what some other guys can do. You want to see some of the guys who've been second or third string, who've been, you know, running down on special teams, how they can play in some live action on offense or defense, and you want to see how they can perform. But also, the guys who are a part of this, who are playing right now, they're playing for their future, not just on this team, but they're playing for their future on other teams as well. Because obviously, everybody here is not going to be here next year. So if you go out and play 75%, you play worth 80%, other teams are going to look at it and say, all right, this is what this guy is. This is what he's made of. When things were bad or whatever the case may be, they're going to say, all right, the future doesn't look bright for this guy. Let's move on to the next. So you got to make sure you're putting forth your best effort in these next three games, regardless of where you're going to the playoffs, because that doesn't matter. Right now, it's all about your future. It's all about your career. It's all about, you know, providing for your family, because if you don't put forth the best effort, you probably won't be on this team, or you won't be on another team that's watching your film come this offseason.
Yeah, that's absolutely spot on, because you've got so many of these guys who are on one-year deals.
Yeah.
You're on tryout kind of status, and right. You've got a lot of other guys who are in contract years.
Mm-hmm.
So this year's free agency period is going to be really interesting for Atlanta, and that's why, you know, as DJ said, you want to put the best on tape that you can possibly put in the next three games. You know, I think when you're losing a game 31-0 or 28-0 and it's late and you're just not getting anything going, how you react and how you play at that time mm-hmm. tells a lot about your character, your mm-hmm. effort, and
yep.
how you approach your craft. And I think that from a coach's perspective, from a front office perspective, you're really looking at that Carolina tape pretty closely
yeah.
to see who's in the bag and who's actually coming out and putting forth the effort that you're needed, you know, during what's really a kind of a tough time, a tough game that's going to test all the things, the intangible things that you want in a player. So, you know, I think for the next three games, yeah, there's not a ton that you're playing for other than pride and for each other and geez, maybe a chance, a small chance to make the postseason. You've got to put together, you know, your best possible work over these next three games.
And one thing I'll add is not only do these guys want to be competitors, they have to be competitors, but we all know this is Coach Quinn's first season. So everybody knows Coach Quinn wants to get his type of guys in here. And right now, what you put on that field, you're going to say, hey, look, I'm your type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And we know in just this particular season, we've seen so much change
right.
on the roster. We've seen guys come and go. I mean, we just talked about Hankerson here, and, you know, we got three games to go, and they let him go. I mean, it's just the things can change so fast. You got to make sure you're putting the best thing out there, because Coach Quinn wants to put his guys on this team, on this roster, that can make them the best that they can be. And he's going to continue to look for those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just sit back and say, okay, I'm good right now because maybe I'm on a 3-year deal. That doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care about that. He wants the best guys who can fit his system. And in year one, we saw he's bringing in so many different changes. In year two, you got to better believe he's going to bring in more. Because I think, John, you got a great stat about, you know, what Seattle. Pete Carroll did in Seattle.
I want to say the first 2 years in Seattle, he had like 75 roster transactions. Now, some of them are the ancillary pieces down at the bottom, but they looked and they said, you know what, we're going to keep turning this roster
yeah.
until we get the group that we want. And remember, they brought in guys like Michael Bennett on one-year deals.
Yeah.
They go, you know what, you're going to come in for $5 million, you got to prove yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I use O'Brien Schofield as kind of the same example. They brought him in. Granted, Dan Quinn knew him. O'Brien's went out and put something on film.
Mm-hmm.
You never see that guy lack for effort. He goes, mm-hmm. and I got a feeling that's what you're going to see the mantra here in Atlanta moving forward is, okay, whatever you end up this year, just say best case scenario, you finish 9-7. Well, 9-7 is not good enough.
Right.
This roster wasn't good enough to be consistent to win and go deep into the playoffs. There's going to be some changes.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think if you're a Falcons fan and you're still excited about the Dan Quinn era, and I think you should be, I think one of the things you're really excited about is the willingness to constantly evaluate what the roster holds.
No doubt.
And let me tell you something. On Tuesdays when it's a player's day off, you see these guys. They're working out guys in the indoor facility.
All the time.
If you look past at the past couple of weeks, you've seen a lot of transactions happen with the practice squad. Guys they think they can develop. Guys they get in here, get a look at, and they're like, meh. You know, we don't think he's got what we want. We want to get somebody else in. I never saw it in the Mike Smith era where you were constantly overhauling the roster at some level. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people don't pay attention to those practice squad guys, but I really think under Dan Quinn you've got to, because he is really interested in getting some guys on the practice squad and developing them into right. players that he can use on the active roster. And I think the other thing, you know, we've made this point here before, if you are on a 3-year deal, a 4-year deal, or whatever, you can never feel secure in your job. I mean, unless your name is Julio Jones.
This ain't the NBA, baby.
No, you can never feel secure that your job is still going to be there tomorrow.
Would he be the only one right now that could want – and I understand where Matt's at. And
well, Matt's not going anywhere.
Because of the money attached.
Matt,
he's your franchise quarterback.
He's your franchise quarterback. Yeah. And I don't care what anybody out there says. He's still your guy, and he's still going to be your guy for years
but
to
I'm
come.
Saying, but if there's one guy on the roster that unequivocally can feel safe, it's Julio.
It's
Jones.
Julio.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
There's nothing he could do that would have him off this roster.
Outside of Matt and Julio, I can't really think of anybody else who wouldn't.
And maybe Jake.
Yeah. Jake Matthews for sure. But yeah, I mean,
and Desmond, because Trufant's not going.
Oh yeah, and Desmond so and Devontae Freeman, I don't think would be going anywhere. So you've got a handful, but it's right. not many. I mean, if you're a guy who's been here all your career, like a Jonathan Babineau or a Roddy White, I mean, there's no reason for you to feel safe with your job right now.
You know what? I want to bring up one point you just mentioned, and I think it was a nugget for the fans, and I don't know if they caught it, but you mentioned Coach Quinn and his staff weekly bring in guys that they work out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys don't understand, when they bring in guys and they work them out, they have a chance to see them up close and personal. Even if they don't sign them, this is a chance for them to see them. And then when they sign them later on, you're like, where did this guy come from? Trust me, they've seen it.
Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest things that they're doing, and you mentioned it. They're always evaluating talent, whether they sign them or not. They got some tape on them. They got some guys who they know. They've seen them come into this exact building and say, all right, I saw him live in person. I think he can do some things and help us. We're going to get him in here, you know, during the offseason. So I think that was a good nugget for people to realize and the fans and to know that, hey, these are just not random guys. They say, all right, we're going to try out and see what he's got. They know about these guys when they get here, and then they try to get them in their system and see if they fit in the system really well. So I thought it was a good point, and the fans should really know that.
And let me add on to that nugget, too, because I think here's a little pro tip. If you look at the transactions in the NFL on a Tuesday, mm-hmm. all right, you'll know who's pretty active with their roster and who's not. And there's plenty of teams out there with losing records who are not doing anything on Tuesdays.
Right.
Okay, they're not making moves on Tuesdays. The Falcons, if you look over the last couple of weeks, they've made a move every Tuesday. And again, whether it's practice squad or whatever, they're still evaluating the roster at every level. And the thing is sometimes you bring in maybe two or three guys. Sometimes you bring in like 15 guys. And maybe you sign one or two of those guys. But you're constantly looking at all the players out there, all of your options from a development standpoint, all the way down to guys who could potentially help you this week. So when you think about what the Falcons are doing from a front office standpoint, from a roster standpoint, you have to look at what are they doing on Tuesdays. If they're making moves on Tuesdays, that means that they've had people in, and that's exactly what they've been doing over the last couple of weeks. And if we know anything about what Dan Quinn, his philosophy is from earlier this year through training camp, because there were a lot of transactions then, it's that he is constantly going to want to see and get his hands on some of these guys before he gets them on his roster. So it's constantly in flux. It's constantly being evaluated. And I think you can rest easy knowing that, you know, he's looking to make this team better, and he's being very active about it.
We talk about the last three games. What are you playing for? One of the things I want to see is the guys on the 53. And we mentioned, you know, Shock, you made a great point where you say guys are playing to put tape elsewhere. But if you're this team, and again, I know the playoffs are still a mathematic, you know, possibility, but probably not. Do you start plugging guys in that maybe haven't got a lot of playing time in the past? And I talk about Jake Long maybe specifically. And I know Ryan Schrader and Jake Matthews have been pretty good, you know, maybe better than anticipated. But they've had some moments here in the back half of the season where they've all
started. I think you can make a case that Schrader should go to the Pro Bowl. Right. I really do. And there's other people out there who think so. So, I mean,
but do you take a look at Jake Long and say, sure, hey, let's see what you have? Or do you take a look at Geno Gradkowski and say, let's see what you've got there? Do you take a look and, you know, there's not a lot of other positions where there's huge depth where you can keep playing guys. But I saw, like, this past week, Phillip Adams played more than Jalen Collins. Mm-hmm. Do you start finding different combinations, Shock, just to put guys out and say, hey, you're going to get a half or you're going to get a quarter, almost like it's an extended preseason to see if they're worth keeping a year from?
No doubt about it. And that's what these next three games are about. Obviously, you're still fighting to win games and you want to compete and all that, but – I think a good example of this week was getting Joey Embu in the game. He actually played pretty good. We saw him had a tackle for loss there in the game. And just a chance to see him, not just in practice, not just to see him in the preseason, get a chance to see him in live action, right, and see what he's about. And I have no problem with seeing what your roster looks like in live game action.
As so Arch would say, he's two axe handles wide.
he's a big dude.
He's definitely got a low center of gravity.
See, but that's why you've got to look at these three games as – more valuable than the preseason looks. Yeah. You know, you get that third preseason game and you get a pretty good look at your guys against some of the, you know, opposing team's best guys, but you're always going to get, you know, the best players. I think what's going to be interesting here in a couple of weeks is, or next week actually, is what does Carolina bring to the Georgia Dome, and what exactly is that team going to look like? Because
do we have to play them again?
Yeah,
really?
But here's the thing. I mean, that's a team playing the Giants this week. The Giants are playing some good football right now. I think if there's a team that might be built to stop that win streak, it could be them. If the Panthers lose on Sunday, they don't have a whole lot to play for when they come here.
Well, they still could be playing for the top seed because Arizona's 11-2.
Yeah, so they got a chance to steal field throughout.
Okay. Right. Yeah, so they could still.
I thought they had already locked that up, so that's my mistake.
Now they could this weekend, I think. If they win and Arizona loses, they lock it up. Now,
well,
that's
then there
different.
You go. I mean, that's a thing. But, you know, if they do, then the question is, all right, well, you still going to go
unbeaten?
Out. Yeah, do you play for unbeaten? I think they do. Ron Rivera is that kind of guy.
See, I don't know that they do, because remember the end of the game against us, you had guys falling, you know,
yeah.
Ben Wickery goes out.
They lost.
James Stewart's not going to play this week. They're going to start Fozzie Whitaker. Fozzie's going to start at running back. They had some guys getting nicked at the end of the game, and
went down at one point. That was a scary moment for them, for sure.
And Kuechly did as well. Kuechly was down and came back.
Yeah, that's true.
So you start to look at what's more important, undefeated or, you know, trying to be healthy for the playoffs. And we've seen teams in the past. Indianapolis shut it down that one year. But then you saw Green Bay go for it. I mean, it's really a coach decision. And I don't know. As much fun as they're having, I want to think, especially against Atlanta, they're going to want to go for it.
I would think. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you've got there's a lot on the line right now. It's a special season for them. I mean, and you
I
could
think
tell
regardless, just, they would want Atlanta to be the team that knock them off.
Right.
Even if they're not playing their guy, they still want to be like, okay, Atlanta wasn't the team that ruined our season, regardless of who was playing.
Well, let me tell you something. That Week 17 game against New Orleans could be a fun one, because you got two teams with not a whole lot to play for but pride.
Potentially Sean Payton and maybe Drew Brees' last game in New Orleans, if you believe some of the internet blogs out there.
Yeah, I mean, that could be an interesting one. I mean, I understand. It's tough to get psyched up for the end of this.
All I know for that game is I'm just waiting for ticket prices to go down. I got some people coming to the game, so yeah, we're just, you know, going to wait till, you know, after Christmas and let those prices go down.
Okay. Thanks for the aside there.
Well, I'm just saying, because I, you know, unlike you guys who get gear and everything, I don't get anything free around. I gotta work for everything.
This guy gets your tickets. Come on, you know that. Come on.
What's up, man?
Oh yeah,
Shock.
We're gonna break the Bosec here.
No.
We're gonna get to the
before
Bosec.
We do
Bosec. What's up, man? What you got for us?
Shock has more gear.
Bo, what's going on?
Bo, Flowery Brands. We'll break with Bosec. What do we got today? Hey, what's
hey,
up, Bosec?
Turn your microphone on.
Hey,
there you go.
Hey.
There
he
is.
Hey.
Like sitting in a rocking chair over there.
Sit still.
Seconds, crazy.
Sit still.
All right.
So you're not gonna show us you or nothing? It's
no.
The people want to see.
They want to see Bosa.
If you could obtain any player in the NFL from any team, which player would you want to be a Falcon in 2016?
Is this like logical
this
or
is
just
like
no,
this is fantasy.
Fantasy.
This is fantasy. Okay. And the reason I ask is you were just talking about evaluating players. We're constantly doing it, and I'm just thinking about what if we could just take anyone.
I love this idea. Typically on local radio, I'll do this in the summertime. Like right when you're getting towards camp starting, we'll do our – because everybody wants to do it. And it's fun. People call in, and some of the ridiculous ideas out there are great. But it is fantasy, and I'll let you guys start because I already have my idea who I want.
I got mine too. So.
Go ahead, Sean.
I'm going to throw two out there.
I know. I need two too.
And I'm going to take the realistic approach. I'm not going to go with the, you know, oh, we're going to get, you know –
JJ
Watt, right. I mean, even though, like, that's a guy you would love to have on any team. I think realistically, I think there's been a lot of speculation at the start of this season, and he's in a contract year, and I think he could definitely end up being with the Birds at when all is said and done. But I think Bruce Irvin is a possibility.
Okay.
And I think this one's maybe realistic, maybe not, but I think it could be fun. And that guy is Calvin Johnson. I think that could be more realistic than you think. Right. I think that's why I said that I went realistic.
That's not fair.
It would not
Julio
be fair.
And Calvin?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
With Justin Hardy running.
That is not.
And Devontae Freeman coming out of
fair. The fair. Oh, my.
And you know he'd want to come home.
Yeah.
Matt would freaking. Oh, my. He would live at Flowery Branch with those guys.
That would be fun.
Matt would get another $100 million contract with that one. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Shaka,
mine is totally unrealistic. But after the game this guy had last week, mm-hmm. I said, I would love to see him rush the passer. Khalil Mack, leading the league in sacks right now. 5 sacks last week versus Denver. Ridiculous. And obviously the other one, the guy who behind him who's, you know, a tackling machine is freaking Kuechly. You know, mm-hmm. he's still in his prime. So those two guys, it's crazy. I know the offensive guy took my defensive guys, but those dudes, mm-hmm. when I look back and I had to drop back and I saw those two guys, I'd be like, whoa, somebody blocked those guys.
Yeah. Khalil Mack, thank you, Khalil Mack. He helped me win my fantasy league, fantasy game last week. I have one of those FACACTA leagues with all kinds of
– one of those what leagues?
FACACTA.
What is FACACTA?
Do we have to bleep that out?
We might.
What is that?
That is something that on one of the other stations the guy used all the time.
I'm in one of those goobledy boobledy leagues. Like you were just making up words.
Yeah. No, it's not a made up word. You can look it up. It's. I think it's okay for
that
TV
is
and radio.
Made up.
But my league has individual defensive players, and I had Khalil Mack. He scored me 50 points last week.
50?
Yeah, my league.
The 10 points a sack.
The scoring is completely grab blank. So I'll show you something.
What is what?
I didn't want to say.
What is that word again?
Grab blank instead of saying grab.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, now you get.
Are you having a stroke?
No. There's just a lot of things going on in my head.
Yes,
but either way,
man.
All right. So the guys I would take, Shock actually took one of mine. Luke Kuechly would be my number one. Watching what he does week in and week out would be, you know, sitting at the middle linebacker position. And nothing against Paul Warlow, but Luke Kuechly is the best defensive player. To me, he's even better than J.J. Watt. And I know that's saying a lot, but Luke Kuechly is a pure football player.
That's sacrilege to me.
Sacrilege.
My completely just – I think it would be fantastic to have this guy here. As much as Calvin Johnson would be fun, how much more fun would it be to have Rob Gronkowski as the tight end of the year Atlanta Falcons?
Whoa.
I just want to party with Gronk. I want to party like a Gronk star.
Whoa.
But just Rob Gronkowski down the seam with Julio on the outside – that you want to talk unfair? That would be unfair.
That would be stupid too.
I can't understand why none of us are general managers.
No,
makes no sense, right?
Bosek, you gotta have an idea who you want.
See, I thought I was getting creative with Gronk, but that was my idea too.
Great minds think alike.
I guess so.
You had to have a backup, right?
Well,
no backup.
J.J. Watt would have been, but that's a typical one. I wanted to get more creative than that, but.
But you
didn't. I
didn't.
I failed.
But you did.
You don't fail if you have J.J. Watt. Because I think what J.J. Watt does, and people don't realize, watching Carolina this past week to see Lotulelei and Kawan Short, how free Thomas Davis – Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis don't have anybody around them. They just play in space and, hey, we're going to go tackle somebody.
That's really why they're so good, man. Yeah. I mean
– that interior line is crazy.
We broke down a player earlier this week on the Rooms to Go Armchair Quarterback. And I literally talked about how they changed the line of scrimmage on one particular run. And we talked about it was like a first and five and K1 short and freaking Jared Allen. I mean, they just really changed the line of scrimmage. And we were 3 yards back. And how easy it's for those guys just to flow when they take two or three guys up every single time.
It's called the stack and shed where they were doing a lot of that.
And get rid of you. Thank you.
They were doing that. All right, video of the week, it says – Pat Whacker.
What is going on?
I'm not 100% sure what this is.
I think John came up with this one. John had to come up with
this. This is not my idea.
Pat Whacker. Rated R episode.
Pat Whacker.
Oh.
What the?
Pat Whacker.
Oh, man.
Is the guy in the middle Pat? In the Zubaz?
I want to see this guy get up and walk away, though.
You know what this guy looks like? The Thundercats guy.
And then he throws the guy.
Yeah, he at the end, split second.
Thundercats.
He drops it.
Pat Thundercats. Ho!
There it is. I knew somebody's going to catch
Now, there's a WWE guy named Cesaro that does this, except he'll grab the guy by the feet and swing him around.
Oh, yeah.
There's I wanted to talk about, could you imagine if one of those guys dropped on him when they jumped in the air?
Or if he hit him, that could be a broken leg.
Yeah. Like if you don't jump at the right time.
I mean, he's got some momentum. Now, what happens to the guy when he throws him off frame here? That's my
question. I wish I knew. It was a 15-second Instagram video.
There's a bag. There's a bag over there that he has to use, or a garbage can, one or the other.
No doubt.
Yeah, there's some stuff coming out.
Hey, this just goes to
my stomach hurts.
People have entirely too much time on their hands.
So if you're on iTunes, you can't see it. There was a guy holding another guy, and they're spinning him around.
It's like a giant swing.
Giant swing and a guy spinning around and guys are jumping over him like a giant swing.
And that's your Pat Whacker.
Pat Whacker.
Don Michaels term.
It's a Fugazi Pat Whacker.
It's a Fakakta.
Fakakta, yeah.
My thing is, what makes you volunteer to be the swinger or the swingy? Hey, man, I'm just going to swing you around.
All right.
That sounds like a great – and these other guys are going to jump over you. Sure, I'm in.
Sounds like fun.
Bosek, can we do that to you later in the year?
Yeah, sure.
All right, that'll be
sounds good.
Be some of our training. All right, picks to click.
Thank you for our Twitter. Our great fans of Twitter said none of you guys should win.
I'll be honest.
And he's right.
I'll be honest. Absolutely right. If we look at just the picks, I think I won.
There's another week where we'd be like, you know what? We're gonna have no winner.
Like, I think I actually would have won.
You know, I wanted to talk about this because I did make a graphic with you winning, but I didn't know if we wanted to just.
Oh, I've been the jinx, so I absolutely win.
All right, let's give this one.
He's just tired of seeing the number one up there. That's all it is.
So we were gonna say there's no winner.
We're the best,
but.
All right. Nothing's going to happen.
Oh, he won with three tackles. That's so sweet.
And a pass deflection.
Yeah.
But as voted on by the people on Twitter, we were told not to have any winner, which truthfully with that performance.
And I might have come in second place with one tackle and one QB hit.
Yeah.
That's where we were at.
Yeah.
DJ
got the two now.
DJ Woo! Got one tackle out of Adrian Claiborne.
AC showed up for me big time, baby.
And then Jacob Tammy had four receptions for 26 yards for Bosek. So there wasn't a whole lot.
Not a lot to go
but,
off of.
But, all right, we'll give it to you. Now, if you were in the lead, there's no way.
No way. No way.
There is no way.
But because I'm in dead last.
Since you've got a 2.7 chance of actually winning this thing.
Ha!
We're going to make it interesting and let you have it.
Oh,
so.
I love you guys.
So we'll give this one to John.
So that means I go last this week. Yes.
Mm.
Wow.
That's always worked out well for you.
Going first, last, taking three. It doesn't matter.
I think
it hasn't
you should go
out.
First. Because you
haven't won in like 6 months, Sean.
Yeah, you've.
I haven't won in 6 months, but I'm still on top of the list, baby. So what?
All right, who do you have? Who you picks got? The click.
Because I had cheaper
Jacksonville
speed.
Jaguars.
Falcons haven't won since DJ won. So pick somebody good.
All right. I'm going to go with I think my dude's starting to come along and get some good things happening for him. He's going into season great. Our eighth overall pick, Mr. Vic Beasley.
He has been playing well.
Thank you. Thank you, Vic.
Good effort.
That's
Vic
good.
Thank you. Jay Adams?
I'm going with Justin Hardy. And
he took it from both.
That's
sacks.
The sound of somebody's pick being taken.
Ah, nice.
I'm going Justin Hardy.
I like that pick, man.
Did you break anything, Bosek, over there?
No.
Now you get to go third now that your pick was just jacked.
Well,
it was like ice cap.
Can we see you instead of being the voice of God here? There we go.
I like to be the voice of God.
No, that's all right. No? Nothing.
Trufant.
All else fails.
Trufant.
All right. All right, buddy. Get off your schnine.
I'm trying to think here. Jacksonville doesn't have much of a pass defense, but I can't take Julio. You already took Justin Hardy.
Go with Tammy, man.
And Blake Bortles likes to throw it all over the place. So I think this guy's going to bounce back from a really, really rough week last week.
I'm going to take
Robert off because I think they're going to throw at him a lot. They've got two really good receivers, Allen Robinson.
So he got a chance for a couple deflections, you mean, huh?
I think Bobby Alford's going to come up with a pick this week.
I'd love to see
Bobby.
And my 2.7, I'm going to win this thing.
All right, we got.
I'm going to win this thing.
Three weeks to go, so you got a chance.
Soaring after that.
All right, you got a chance.
So to recap. Desmond Trufant for Bosek.
As always.
I have Robert Alford. Jay has Justin Hardy. And Vic Beasley, number 8.
So I'm the only one who was crazy enough to take an offensive player, right?
Yeah.
I like Hardy, though. That's a good pick, though.
Let's turn it around. This
Please, like we need Hardy. It. If not, Jay and I are going to jackknife into the pool. We may do that anyway.
I don't know if I can bring my leg up enough to jackknife.
I probably will tear something. I don't know that I can jump.
Yeah, don't you do that, Jay.
I just have to fall into the pool.
All right.
Appreciate you guys watching and listening on iTunes. Next week. Boop.
Yeah!